This is part 26 of The Unholy Seed. The title is Don't Marry a Canaanite. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou not take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of Yahweh be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. You may be seated. What do all these pronouns that we just read, what do they mean? Let's repeat these two verses using nouns instead of pronouns. So I stuck the nouns in there. Deuteronomy chapter 7, 3 and 4. Neither shall the person of Israel make marriages with the individuals of Canaan. The person of Israel's daughter shall the person of Israel not take unto the Canaanite's son. Nor the Canaanite's daughter shall the person of Israel take unto the person of Israel's son. For the Canaanites will not turn away the person, will turn away the person of Israel's son from following the Lord God of Israel. That both the Canaanite and Israelite married couple may serve other gods. So will the anger be kindled against the person of Israel who granted their approval of this marriage and destroy the person of Israel who approved this marriage suddenly. Well, it seems to me that our Yahweh God totally disagrees with interracial marriages. There is no such thing as a Canaanite being a child of God. This is why there were no missionaries sent to try to convert any of them. The reason is that it is impossible to do. Yahweh God said that he would be the God of the seed of the fathers who he loved and made an everlasting covenant with. Any person who marries into the unholy seed will serve other gods. This is what the Lord God said, and this is what I believe. Considering this, look at the email that I received from Christians United for Israel this past week, which is, of course, very pro-Zionist. In the next to last sentence in the letter, Pastor John Hagee, or his ghostwriter, said, quote, pledge to shine the light, unquote, on anti-Semitism, so that together we can fulfill our God-given mandate to bless and love the children of Israel, unquote. Do you agree with the ideas of the Christians United for Israel that provides a rational association through which every pro-Israel church, parachurch organization, ministry, or individual in America can speak and act with one voice in support of Israel in matters related to biblical issues? The pledge they want you to make is to shine the light on anti-Semitism by opposing anti-Semitism in all its forms wherever it may be found. Educating my friends, co-workers, and elected officials about how to identify and condemn the anti-Semitism that hides in plain sight. Fighting those who would use opposition to Israelite policy as a thin veil to hide their hatred for the Jewish state. And supporting our Jewish neighbors should they ever be victimized by anti-Semites. That's the pledge you take. Surprisingly, I totally agree with the first two of these 4 points. The reason I agree with the first two is because I disagree with their definition. I will not be anti-Semitic, for I am Semitic. And I will try my best to fulfill God's command to bless and love the children of Israel, for I am an Israelite. I will not love the Kenites, Canaanites, Edomites, and Ashkenazis because our God didn't either. They are not Israelites. They are Turks, Japheth, plus many other combinations. The Schofield Reference Bible is a Zionist interpretation of the Holy Bible with English footnotes. The Bible was written 110 years ago by a convicted felon, Cyrus Schofield. But I doubt he was responsible for most of it. It was financed by Kenite, Canaanite, Edomite, and Ashkenazi bankers, who then bribed seminaries, many churches, and thereby influenced many of the doctrines of mainstream Christianity. I found this thing. It says the rapture, a word, and an event contrived by in the Schofield Bible. The unholy Schofield Bible. The Schofield Reference Bible is a Zionist interpretation of Bible scripture, footnoted in modern English, written in 1909 by convicted felon Cyrus Schofield, financed by a Jewish banker with bribes. The Bible was forced into Bible colleges, the pulpits of Christian ministers, and 20th century Christian beliefs. The Bible is a powerful Zionist tool in the creation and support of illegal Israel and the subjugation of the Christian religion into Zionism. Well, I was a member of a small independent Baptist church that mandated that its members have a Schofield Bible. The church believed everything that the Schofield notes said, even the lies. Of course, we didn't know they were lies. We were a small church, less than 30 members, but we were Calvinistic and Zionist. We were as Zionist as Joe Biden is. Joe is open about his love for Israelite, just like we were. But Joe is a Roman Catholic. We were independent Baptist and hated the Catholic Church. How did this happen? Here's a picture of Joe and his family. Joe Biden married Narilai. That was his love of his life. She was killed in a car crash. She's a crypto Jew. The marriage was from 1966 to 1972. Naomi was killed in the car crash along with the mother when she was 1 year old. So 1972, the mother and the youngest child died in the car crash. Bo was injured in the car crash. He was 4 years old. He later married a Jewish woman by the name of Holly Oliver. The marriage lasted 202 till his death in 2015. He was a major in the Delaware National Guard, Attorney General of Delaware. He was going to run for governor when he found his brain tumor. He died in 2015. They have 2 children. Their other son is Hunter, also injured in the car crash. He was 2 years old. And then Kathleen, divorced after 23 years, married from 93 to 2017. This is very interesting. He volunteered for 1 year as a Jesuit volunteer course Northwest in a church in Portland, Oregon. It was here that he met and married his first wife, Kathleen. That's very interesting to me, if you know who the Jesuits are. He worked as a lawyer, and they had 3 children, 3 girls. Now, he was discharged from the Navy for cocaine addiction. dishonorable discharge in 2014. He served on China's board, made $1.5 million on a sweetheart deal, started in 2014. He just resigned. There's a lot of talk about Hunter in these groups here. All this adds up to an extremely troubling pattern. Much of the media have chosen to air the spin rather than the facts. He also served on the Ukrainian Bursa Holdings. He only made $50,000 a month. 2015, just resigned. He married Haley. Haley was a second. He had Bo's wife Haley and Hunter had a sexual relationship for several years, mostly in secret from his older brother's widow, with his older widow, from 2016 to 2019. They lived together in the same house. The extramarital affairs date site, Ashley Morris, had his name on their list in early 2017. Well, it's got all messed up when I sent it over here. He divorced his wife, Kathleen, and his divorced wife, Kathleen, in court, claimed that Hunter had allegedly, and there's the quote, blown money on prostitutes, strip clubs, alcohol, gifts for women with whom he had sexual relationships, and drugs. Kathleen became close friends with Michelle Obama after their daughters attended the same private school and became good friends. Luden Alex Roberts sues Hunter for impregnating her with a child. That was 2018. And then he married Melissa Cohen, a South African Jew, after he saw her for 6 days and then married her in a secret wedding. That was in 2019. Joe Myers married a second wife, Jill Jacobs, by the crypto Jew in 1977, one child, Ashley. She married a Jewish doctor, Howard Creeland. Now I'll explain this a little bit. This took many hours getting the research down, but here's what I came up with. This is a very troubling family tree for an ex-vice president and a current presidential candidate. And I just saw Joe Biden talking about his new campaign. He talked a little bit about Hunter and about Bo. Didn't mention a thing about any of their wives. Just skipped over it. I want to tell you what's going on. Joe Biden is 10 days younger than I am. He's born on November 20th. I was born November the 10th, same year. But that is about all that is similar. He has been a Roman Catholic all his life. In fact, he has been a Zionist Roman Catholic. His first wife, Nyla, was the love of his life. He had three children with her, but it ended in disaster. Nyla was driving the family car with the three young children in it when it was hit by a truck. Nyla and the youngest child, Naomi, both died at the scene of the car wreck. The two sons, Bo and Hunter, were injured but survived the crash after spending some time in the hospital. 5 years later, Joe married his second wife, Jill Jacobs. Jill spends a lot of her time speaking to Jewish groups. She wasn't raised Jewish, but she has a Jewish mother. She was the first lady of the vice president. They are both still married. After the car accident, besides the two young boys that survived, they had a daughter together. The oldest son, Bo, died when he was 46 years old. He died of brain cancer just before he was thinking of running for governor of Delaware. Their daughter, Ashley, married a Jewish doctor, Howard Creeling. This left one son, Hunter. And what a son is he. After graduation, Hunter joined the volunteer Jesuit Corps Northwest. Do you remember what the Jesuits are? They began for one purpose only. That was to counter the Protestant Reformation. While working for 1 year volunteering for the Jesuits in a church in Portland, Oregon, he met his wife and married her. They both joined the organization that hates Protestants so much that they pledged that their goal is to eliminate them. He didn't say anything about that either, his press conference. There was nothing too dramatic until the year 2014. Then all kinds of crazy things began to happen. Hunter, after 1 year, was dishonorably discharged from the Navy after he failed a cocaine test. He had a long battle with drugs, spending a lot of time in rehabs. Then later in 2014, he was appointed to a company that was working in China. He invested money that the Chinese gave to them. He made almost $2 million on this deal with the Chinese, although he lost money for the government of China. And then in 2015, he was placed on the board of an energy company in the Ukraine. He was paid over $50,000 a month. 50,000 times 12, over 600,000. That's, in some estimate, he got paid $900,000. So between $550,000 and $90,000 a month. All I can say is, what? They denied that his father, who was vice president at the time, had any influence in Hunter's new foreign jobs. I'd like to be able to get a job like that. Work 4 months and quit, have enough money to retire. What else happened? In 2015, his brother died of brain cancer. His brother's widow, Haley, after a couple of months after her husband's death, had a sexual relationship with Hunter. It was done without their family's knowledge. But after their relationship was discovered, they even lived in the same house. No wonder the children are all mixed up. This was when Hunter was separated from his wife. So he separates from his wife, marries his brother's widow, lived with his brother's widow. They divorced in 2017. In divorce court, it's Catherine said that Hunter had blown money on prostitutes, strip clubs, alcohol, gifts for women with whom he has sexual relations, and drugs. But that is not all. There was the Ashley Morris escapade, the extramarital dating service that had the name of Hunter Biden as one of their clients. You must remember that story that broke a couple years ago. Hunter Biden was, she had him in a blacklist. He consistently denied it, but they had a check with his own signature that he had given to the service. But then in 2018, he got sued by a woman who said that her child was from him. Biden said that he was innocent of the charge. I've got a picture of her. Luden Roberts says Hunter Biden is the father of her child in a paternity suit. And then, who's this? Biden met activist Melissa Cohen in early May 2019. Within a month, they were married. He's Jewish, Roman Catholic, she's Jewish. He's American, she's South African. He's the businessman with the background in law who has flirted at times, some say unethically, close to government affairs. Cohen is a filmmaker, though there isn't much evidence of her work. She is 17 years his junior. Yet the couple, who became engaged within a week of knowing each other, seems blissful together. Cohen, who grew up in Johannesburg, is an outspoken liberal and a devout Jew from a tight-knit family. Her parents, Zoe and Lee Cohen, are nearing their 50th wedding anniversary. Cohen, who lives in Los Angeles, is divorced from Jason Landover, another Jew. No wonder California is burning up. Cohen, who appears to spend time since her 2014 divorce on travel and family, posts regularly on social media about justice issues, focusing on the plight of the government, mistreated and endangered animals, indigenous peoples, mistreated workers, and refugees. Long before she met Biden, she was outspokenly supportive of the Obama presidency and critical of President Trump. We could just say she's a Democratic liberal. Hunter's ex, Kathleen, is now a very good friend with Obama's wife. One of their daughters are best of friends. Both daughters go to the same high school. Now, tell me how a person who is a drug addict, who has gone to many rehabs, has been going out with prostitutes and strip clubs, secretly went with his dead brother's wife, and then when found out, they began to live together. Then he is charged with fathering an unwed child, and finally marries a divorcee after only knowing her for a week. He seldom is in China and the Ukraine. How did he get to position on the boards of companies in these two countries? Do you think he is part of the Biden mafia? Do you think he is worth over $50,000 a month serving on the board? Joe Biden made over $15 million last year. They paid $5 million in federal income tax. What is going on? And that isn't all. What about President Trump? His only daughter, Ivanka, converted to Orthodox Judaism and then married real estate developer and Jew Jared Kushner. Jared's father is a convicted criminal and a possible Mossad agent. Donald Jr. Trump is just divorced from Vanessa Hayden after 12 years, whose original name was Hochberg. She is Jewish. Eric Trump is married to Laura Yaska. Well, these names are hard to say. Yaska, who has two Jewish parents. And Tiffany Trump is dating Ross Carpenter, both of whose parents are Jewish. There are four generations of Trumps, beginning with Friedrich Trump, or Drump, who have had close business and personal association with Jews. Friedrich started getting his wealth by owning three brothels that he ran. He later took the money that he made from the brothels and got into real estate. Got a picture. Ivanka Trump, Kirshner, and this is who?
Chelsea
and her husband. And what about Bill and Hillary Clinton and their daughter? Who did she marry? Chelsea Clinton is married to Jewish investment banker Mark Mazinski, whose father was a convicted criminal who was pardoned by President Bill Clinton. You might remember that. The pair married on July 31st, 2010, and the wedding took place in an interfaith ceremony in New York. They have two children from this marriage, daughter Charlotte Clinton and son Adrian Clinton. And President Obama. His children are too young to marry, but the older one is dating a wealthy Jew who lives in England. But even though the media never reports the following, President Obama is Jewish. Why do I say this? Because his mother was Jewish and a communist. Then there's Al Gore. Al and Tipper Gore's daughter, Karina, married a Jew, Andrew Schiff. That might be a familiar name. Additionally, another daughter, Sarah Gore, married Bill Lee, a Chinese businessman from San Francisco. President John Kennedy, an Irish Catholic's only daughter, Caroline Kennedy, married Edwin Schlossberg, a Jew. President George H.W. Bush has a granddaughter who married a Jew. Lauren Pierce Bush married David Lauren, son of multimillionaire fashion designer and executive Ralph Lauren. What if the next election is Trump versus Biden? Who has the most children who are married to the Kenite, Canaanite, Edomite, Ashkenazi Jew? Is this just a coincidence? The daughters and sons of the Anglo-American political and financial elites are marrying Jews. The Jewish financial aristocracy is demanding that the Anglo-Saxon political elites give them its daughters and sons to create a new Anglo-Jewish ruling class to reign in the name of Israel, should be Israelite. The United States political elites are race traitors and Jew lovers who have no sense of racial pride and who feel no organic connection to the white population of America. They have no idea and totally ignore what the God of the Bible says about his enemies. Well, the easiest way to get these unrepayable loans forgiven is to marry the daughter of the Jewish money lenders, a simple strategy that allowed Jews to infiltrate and ultimately replace the native aristocracies of Europe. It has become quite fashionable to have a Jewish spouse yourself or marry your children off to Jews if you're running for office. What better way to convey to wealthy Jewish voters that you are 100% kosher? And just like communism, intermarriage is one of the easiest ways to ensure that all the wealth of the goyim ultimately ends up in the coffers of the Jews. Now, a lesson from Richard Hoskins. He sent me this book. I couldn't read it. Why? I strained and strained. Well, I had to get a magnifying glass that my wife has. And I put it. I read this with a magnifying glass. It's a lesson from Richard Hoskins. The following is taken from Richard Hoskins' book, Why Fight Iraq? It gives insight into why so many American politicians are marrying into the unholy seed line. Quote, this is from his book. Everyone believes that somewhere an evil genius lurks. That someone who plans wars, massacres, and death camps sometimes 20 to 30 years in advance. There are many stories that lend credence to the view. To calmly plot a war that is to take place at a time in the distant future requires a truly homicidal type who will hire like-minded people to work for him, people with no conscience at all. People could never agree on his identity. He is never mentioned by the media. His or her crimes are studiously overlooked by the pulpit, ignored by politicians, and remains invisible to expose newsletter writers who wish to avoid trouble by collaborating or perhaps getting a share of whatever there is. $1 gift. The lending business is important. If one understands this, and very few ever do, but if one understands this, no other explanation for most wars in the last several hundred years is necessary. Ever stop to think why banks have insisted that state legislatures pass laws so the unclaimed accounts containing $1 that granddad set up for his granddaughter when she was born will revert to the state after 10 or 15 years? We are told that it's because of paperwork, or because there are starving Eskimos at the North Pole who can use that dollar to buy food. But is that the real reason? No, indeed. Not a lick of truth to it. Let me tell you the real story, although it's sort of like locking the barn door after the horse is out. And I mean the horse is really out. The following is one explanation about how it all started. A quarter for the kid. In 1655, Oliver Cromwell let the international bankers into England. They had been banned since 1290. But they promised to be good and do him a favor by lending him a few thousand pounds at 10% for letting them in. He needed the money, so he did. They didn't even require immediate repayment. Regular fellows, easy to work with. The tale goes that while Cromwell was in the bank one day making out money orders for some of his relatives in America, he opened a savings account as an afterthought for his niece, Prudence. This account paid a guaranteed 10%. Not being a big spender with his own money, he put a quarter in it and sent the passbook to her mother to keep for her until she grew up and went to college or something. It's the thought that counts. So he puts one quarter, 25 cents, into the savings account. Like little girls the world over, little Prudence was not impressed with 25 cents, especially in a bank account over in England where she couldn't get it to buy candy or something. So she put the passbook in a secret drawer in her dresser and forgot it. Dressers back then had secret drawers. In 2000, the dresser was a real antique and was still around. Everyone said that it came over in the Mayflower. If all the furniture that is said to have come over in the Mayflower was shipped back to Europe, it would take an 80,000-ton Queen Mary 3 trips to get it all back. Anyway, when she was 8 years old, little Prudence, this was little Prudence the 12th, was fooling around in the dresser and discovered the secret drawer holding the passbook belonging to her ancestor. Not much money, but she took it down to the bank to get the quarter for a jawbreaker. The teller smiled when she saw a 25-cent deposit made in 1655 and indulgently took it over to the machine to automatically compute the interest. The machine jammed. So she called the bank manager, Joe, who came over, and he too jammed the machine when he tried to compute the totals. Joe then sat down and did some fast computation with the bank's personal computer when he saw that was enough. Don't turn the page. He then called little Prudence the 12th over and said to her, "Little girl, you are queen of the world. The banking system, which the bank in part owes you." How much? $18,386,000,000, $18,386,000,000, $96,562,268.61. Hoskins said he figured this out exactly. There's a formula, and I showed you in my math book the form you put in there, and you can work it out. That's $18 trillion plus a few odd hundred billion, and that's more than what the world is worth. Well, we owe more than that, the United States. But a quarter, at 10%, 1655, that's a little over 450 years, but that much money. To show that he really knew what he was doing, he continued banker style, not knowing when to quit. The annual interest comes to $1,838,609,656,276.86. Trillion, almost $2 trillion a year. Or if you prefer, $5,036,286,729.56 a day. That's $5 billion in change. And I make $11.50 an hour? And she don't do anything and gets $5 billion? This is what the interest on 25 cents will do for you if you keep it in the bank long enough. Oh, who has all the big buildings? The stadiums are named after. Oh, now it's kind of. And you put money in, you get. Oh. Your savings accounts is what, 1.3% or something? Little Prudence clapped her hands. She always wanted to be the queen of the world. Not knowing much about money, Little Prudence hired Joe, the bank manager, to be her agent, or actually prime minister, since the queen needs the prime minister to run things for her. She played in the yard of her home, and he ran the world for her and explained things to her that she didn't understand. Queens don't have to understand everything, you know. Putting others to work. One day, Joe went to see Little Prudence, and while they were playing on her seesaw, Joe explained that they would have to get the President of the United States to go to war against somebody. Little Prudence was only 8 and didn't understand about such things, so Joe explained that the country was running out of money. Little Prudence wanted to know why they didn't use some of hers. She had more than $18 trillion. Joe patiently explained that the $18 trillion was the money that the banks and the people owed her. If they had money, they paid her. If they didn't have money, they couldn't pay her, and then she wouldn't have any money either. Little Prudence then said that since the U.S. government owed her a lot of money, and since most of the politicians work for her, quote, the borrower is slave to the lender, Proverbs 22:7. Why couldn't she just tell them to make some money and give it to everyone who need it, like herself, Joe, and some other nice people? Again, Joe patiently explained that one of the reasons they wanted to go to war was to provide for the government to borrow money from her banks to make money themselves. If they did, the government and people wouldn't need her banks anymore. If they didn't need her banks, then she wouldn't be queen. And everyone wouldn't work for her, and Joe wouldn't be able to take care of her banking business and give her extra candy when her mother wasn't looking. This was one of the main reasons they were paying politicians. This is one of the main reasons they were paying politicians. This is one of the main reasons they're paying Obama. One of the main reasons they're paying Trumper. That's one reason they pay Biden. That's one of the main reasons. To keep the country from printing its own money. which would keep her from being queen, but put Joe out of a job. Even little prudence can see the wisdom of not letting the government make money if it meant they wouldn't need her banks to lend money. She wouldn't be queen. She liked being queen. Joe liked being assistant queen or manager or prime minister, whatever. Where money comes from. Little Prudence then wanted to know if she was the richest person in the world, but only had IOUs and no money, and if the bank she owed also owed lots of IOUs but no money, where did money come from and where did it go? People try to pay off their IOUs so they don't any money and they can't do it. The reason they can't do it is because our banks lend $10 and make the borrower repay $11. Once they pay the $10, that pays off part of the debt. A $10 payment cancels the $10 IOU, and poof, both $10 and the $10 IOU disappear, leaving the $1 debt and no money to pay it. And then they have no more money, but still owe $1. And since they now have no money, they must come back to the banks and mortgage more and more property to borrow again and again. So their debt gets bigger and bigger, and when they run out of property to mortgage, we foreclose and take everything they've got. The people could never pay it off and escape. Neat, huh? Their IOUs and their foreclosed property are why you are so rich. You own all the people who owe you. You own them all. And at a time, you'll own all their property. The money isn't important except when you have to buy something to eat, like now. To a banker, the answer was simple. Actually, the little queen didn't understand a word of it. No one ever does understand what a banker is saying, but she knew this much. That doesn't sound very honest to me. Joe, stung to the quick, replied, "So it's not honest, it's legal. We've paid good, hard-earned money to politicians to make it legal, and now they tax everyone who says it's not legal. How's that? Even preachers say that it's legal. No one ever says one word against it. Quote, God have given forth upon usury, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. Ezekiel 18:13. We are strictly legal, and that makes us honest. The government says so. The courts say so. And we've got sheriffs and soldiers to make it stick. We're protected all around. Little Prudence didn't quite understand this either. But if Joe said so and he was a banker and made his living doing this sort of thing, it must be so. Well, Joe, about this war. Why do we need a war? To make people borrow money into existence when they don't want to borrow. Money that everyone needs, he explained. The people are already in debt. They don't have any more debt-free houses, factories, or land. They can't bring us deals to debt-free property so they can borrow new money into existence. We must have what we must have are new debt-free borrowers. If we can get a war started, the government can borrow money into existence by issuing their own IOU bonds. That helps. But the country we go to war with, they will have to go to their own banks to borrow money into existence, to buy guns and ships and planes to defend themselves. And you own all those banks, too. After all, no one questions where money comes from. Well, if you say so, said little Prudence, with whom shall we go to war? Well, Japan, Germany, Korea, Vietnam, Grenada, Afghanistan, and Panama have already been used. How about South Africa and Iraq? They are mostly debt-free. They have debt-free property to mortgage and are able to borrow a lot of money into existence to keep the world money system supplied with money for a long time. If we work it right, like Vietnam, we can string out 20 years or more. After all, the plans were made back in 1965 and are still good. It'll give us the money we need to buy you a swing set to go with the seesaw. The new swing sets are a lot more comfortable. Little Prue clapped her hands in glee. Hoskins' conclusion. So you see, there is an evil person. An evil genius that plans to envelop the world in wars, death, and destruction. That's why the Jew was kicked out of the country. That's why the Nazis found out about this. They kicked him out of the country. The question, who is it? Is it one, the Carnegie crew who planned the South African invasion so many years ago? Is it two, Joe the banker, whom people secretly suspect is part of a Jewish conspiracy? Is it three, little Prue, the 8-year-old secret ruler of the world? Is it for the dastardly Oliver Cromwell who started this whole mess with his 25-cent gift at 10% interest? Or maybe, just maybe, could it be five? The system of compound interest itself. Until people find the correct answer among the five suspects and do something about it, we can confidently expect that liberation of wars against the South Africans and Iraqis of the world to force them to borrow money into existence will continue indefinitely. Or until the Johnnies, Fritzes, Abdullah, and Kooks who fight these wars are all used up, whatever comes first. As Joe explained to little Prudence, read my lips. What Bush said, read my lips. We're strictly legal. We're right. We've got to look at the bright side. At least for now, money is once again beginning to be borrowed into existence. Happy days are here again for as long as they last, and you get your swing set. Oh, goody, said little Prudence as she thought of her new swing set. I always wanted a new swing set. And this ends Richard Hoskins' story. Now we know why the wars string on and on. It is against Christian law to charge interest to their brothers. The penalty that our Lord God brought is death. That is one reason that Oliver Cromwell got the Jews to do it. That must be the reason that the presidents of the United States are either Jews themselves, married Jews, or their children are married to Jews. Wouldn't it be great if a pure-blooded Anglo-Saxon was running for president who spoke against completely shutting down the Federal Reserve System and the income tax? Why do we need a private bank, a private Jewish bank, to do what the Constitution says is the Congress's job? Congress has the power to print our money, not the Jewish Federal Reserve. That is why we've had the Civil Rights Movement, the income tax, all the wars in the last 200 years, and all the dubious, expensive activities that we had to create debt. More and more debt. That is the battle that we face. Do we follow the Lord God of the holy seed people, or do we follow the gods of the unholy seed line? Eventually, there'll be no more debt-free property used as collateral, and the debt usury system will fall in one day. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.